Welcome back to the Weekender on Y95. I'm Kevin Northup. The town of Shelburne has entered in Craft Hockeyville, and they've done it through the Shelburne Arena. It's nominated right now. With more information on this, Ben Holmes spoke with Megan Louise, who put in the bid for Craft Hockeyville.
Megan Louise is on the line, and she is going to talk to us about the Shelburne County Arena and a very exciting opportunity that could be coming to them, possibly. Megan, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. How about yourself?
Good. So tell me all about, there's a contest going on, right?
Yes, it's the Hockeyville Craft Canada Arena Makeover contest, which there is a nomination for Shelburne Arena for 2023.
All right. Now, tell me a little bit about the Hockeyville Craft Contest. What do they get if they win?
So we've been nominated. I submitted the story, and then we'll rally until the 19th of February. At that point, there will be four arenas that are selected for the next round. So the next round would be basically the winner of the $250,000, and then the other three arenas would receive $25,000. Really great prizes for all four.
For sure. And the Shelburne Arena has been having some problems recently, really, hasn't it? I know they had to start their season later this year because of repairs, so that would really go towards a big facelift, wouldn't it?
A huge benefit to the arena and some of the necessary upgrades and renovations, which the arena starting its season late this year was basically my reason for getting involved in this and nominating the arena for the makeover.
Right. Now, along with the makeover, how fast would that happen? If they won, would that happen right away?
That's a great question. As far as I know, it would be funds that are handed over to the arena this year. And the other part of the winnings is that there would be a NHL pregame or preseason game that takes place at the arena. So my assumption is that it would be this year for the next NHL season.
Right. I saw on Facebook you're encouraging people to share stories about their time at the Shelburne Arena and share pictures. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Okay, so that's part of the rally part. So I've nominated the story, and I've uploaded five photos, some of my children, some of the photos that have been submitted by other community members. Basically, what I have encouraged community members to do is upgrade or upload their story to Hockeyville Canada website by creating a login. So they have to use an email. It just takes a few minutes, so five photos. And then you would submit your own personal story and meaning to yourself and your family about the arena. But then also if you could upload a 2-minute video clip or up to 2 minutes and then engage simply on the other community members' photos that they've submitted and their story and their videos. So all those count towards points for the community center. Or the community arena nomination.
Right. And if they get enough points, then that puts them even closer to getting this this upgrade. All right.
Sounds the next good. Round, yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
So do you guys have a Facebook page that people can go check out information about this?
Yep. So the arena has their own page, but I also have created one just specifically for the rally with the details and where I'm also collecting lots of photos because one of our teachers at our school, the local elementary school, has agreed to put together a video for me for the nomination story that I put in initially to get us nominated. So, send your photos in and engage on the website. And there's also a Facebook link that Hockeyville website has actually generated as well. So people can search the arena and then start creating their account and uploading those photos and video.
And even if you're not from Shelburne, if you're involved in that, you know, hockey community or figure skating community, you've probably been there before. You've gone to the arena before. It's a pinnacle part of the Tri-County. So Anybody even outside of Shelburne, if they want to nominate as well or go towards points, that sounds great. Now, when's the final decision on this, Megan? Do you know the final, when do we know who's won $250,000, or is that down the road quite a ways?
That's down the road, but right now it's crucial to get all the stories and engagement on until February 19th, and this is during the rally stage.
All right. Sounds good. Well, Megan, thanks so much. Go to their Facebook
page.
And you'll be able to find out more information and submit a nomination and submit pictures, as you said, before February 19th.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much.
Don't forget to visit crafthockeyville.ca to vote. There's a tournament going on at the Sandy Wickens Memorial Arena in Barrington this weekend. It's the 9th annual Cole Nickerson Memorial Hockey Tournament. I had a chance to speak with organizer Scott Simmons yesterday about this event, which is already underway. So I guess first I'll ask, did you know Cole quite well?
Yeah, so Cole was someone who was a few years older than me, but we both grew up in Woods Harbor. So he was someone that... you know, being a hockey player, I always looked up to, and just someone that was always around the community.
Definitely. And how important is it, you know, to have this kind of event and to honor his memory, not only his memory, I guess, but, you know, the other four members of the Miss Alley from now 10 years ago?
Yeah, so it's been 10 years, so, you know, some time has passed. But, you know, I think it's good for everyone. It's good for Cole's family. It's good for his friends to remember him, to celebrate. You know, in the dressing room, there's a lot of talks of, you know, storytelling about Cole, that type of thing. And yeah, it's just another way of, you know, healing from something that people are still, you know, going through every day.
Absolutely. And I know some money is being raised from this as well, and the proceeds are going toward another great initiative.
Yeah. So this year, in previous years, we've kind of put the money towards a bursary in Cole's memory for BMHS graduates. And this year, Cole's family gave us the green light to pick another initiative in the community. And one that's kind of gaining a lot of steam in the Barrington area is the Jevin Link Society, the Let Your Light Shine Society that his mother's created in his memory. So we decided this year, this is where the funds will go.
And that's really important as well, because that society, of course, is about, you know, mental health initiatives and trying to get more mental health support for the Barrington surrounding area.
Yep, exactly. You know, Jevin's mom did a interview on television there just last week. And, you know, if you haven't heard that or watched it, I'd encourage people to go do that. And yeah, she kind of wraps it up nicely that there's a lot of people in need, especially in this area. And we don't really feel like we're getting the attention down this into the province that we need to. So initiatives like this, the Jevin Link Society, is just a way of helping locals out with some mental health issues.
So this is a great cause, of course, but I know a lot of fun's going to be had this weekend. So tell me what's happening, and I guess how many folks are participating and how many teams?
Yep, so we got five teams, five local teams. Action kicks off today at 6:30. We've got Team Cole versus the Riverhead Rollers, who are the defending champs from last year. There will be a ceremonial puck drop there at 6:30. A couple of Cole's relatives will take part in that. His niece and nephew are going to do a puck drop, and his uncle Tyrone is going to give a little speech, and there'll be a moment there just to honor Cole before the action starts.
And this tournament continues throughout the weekend?
Yep. So there's three games tonight, and then we carry on through Saturday. The games start at 2:30 and onwards on Saturday. And then on Sunday, we've got basically like semifinals and finals that take place through the afternoon on Sunday.
Perfect. And who are the other teams involved?
So we have Team Cole, and then we have Riverhead Rollers. And then we have my team, which is called the Boxing Rock Brewers. Yeah, all the teams are basically local guys. Most of the guys have some connection to Cole. So, you know, it's just a good way to get out, celebrate Cole, bring back some good memories, and make some new ones.
As far as people coming out to watch, how can they do so? Is there a fee?
Yep, so no fee. We are collecting donations at the door, so if people are feeling up to giving a bit of a donation, they can do that. Again, all proceeds are going towards the Jevin Link Let Your Light Shine Society. And we will be having a jersey that we're taking tickets on as well. So those tickets can be purchased throughout the weekend, and we'll do a draw on Sunday. And that's for a signed Danny Heatley jersey. So the Senators, it's a Senators jersey, and that was Jevin's favorite team. So that's why we picked that jersey to take some tickets on.
And you can visit the Sandy Wickens Memorial Arena in Barrington to find out more on that. My guest has been Scott Simmons, and thanks very much for his time. Finally, want to talk about a comet that was visible over the skies of, well, the planet, really, but here in Nova Scotia, the Deep Sky Eye Observatory in Quinnan, always keeping an eye on all things outer space. And earlier this week, had a chance to chat with Tim Doucette about this rare comet, which is indeed a very rare visitor. Joined on the line now by Tim Doucette with Deep Sky Eye Observatory in Quinnan. And Tim's going to tell us a bit about a comet that's appeared. And this is a pretty interesting, a really interesting stuff for those who love, space and love rare things in the sky. So, Tim, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
So this is a pretty stunning thing to see. I'm looking here at your post on Facebook of this comet that you've picked up. Tell us a bit about this comet and kind of what you're observing there.
Yeah, so this comet that's been dubbed designated C-2022 E3 ZTF was discovered in March of last year by the Zicky Transient facility at the Palomar Observatory in California. And it just happens that it's becoming naked eye visible in a dark sky. So if you're away from the city lights, you'll be able to have a look towards the north, north and northeast in the evening and actually mostly all night. In between the North Star and the Big Dipper and Little Dipper, you look in between those areas and you should see a little fuzzy ball, basically, with a little tail. So it's pretty exciting. What's interesting about this comet is it's basically the period of the comet, which means it's when it comes from outside the solar system around our sun and flies back around. The next time it'll come back here, it'll be about 50,000 years. So the last time it visited our planet was, back in the Stone Ages, Neanderthal times. So it's quite interesting to be able to witness this in our day because we won't get another chance.
No, I don't think any of us will be around in 50,000 years, that's for sure. So there you go. Wow, this is a very rare thing to observe. And from what I'm seeing on your post here on Deep Sky Eye Observatory's Facebook page, it's a really clear image of this. It kind of looks green. So just tell us a bit about that.
So most comets are green. This comet in particular is really no different in that sense. But what happens is a comet is a ball of ice and rock, and it's kind of referred to sometimes as a dirty snowball, and it's flying through space. And as it gets close to our sun, the ultraviolet rays of the sun excite the carbon molecules in the comet. So it basically kind of has that green glow to it. And right now, if you're looking to observe it, you should be able to pick it out naked eye as a little fuzzy ball, but it's a really good object if you have binoculars and you can pick it out with the binoculars. A good sight to look at online if you just want to get a very specific place in the sky to kind of narrow your field a little bit to what you're looking for is theskylive.org. And you can go there and have a look and it'll give you a live map of where the comet is right now. If you have a telescope, of course, you can get a little bit more detail. You'll start to really resolve that green color. So it's pretty cool. The image that I took, of course, the camera and the telescope pick up a lot more detail than your eyes can pick up. So just as a heads up, it doesn't exactly look like the photograph that we've taken with the telescope and camera.
Yeah, like you said, the photo is certainly spectacular there. And Deep Sky Observatory, this is something obviously that's right up your alley and things that you look out for and that you love to see. So how are things going at the observatory right now in Quinnan? Are people still able to come in this time of year, or is it more of a summer type of thing?
Well, normally we would be open at this time, but we're closed for some maintenance. And maintenance issues. So we're trying to fix those up, and hopefully with any luck, we'll be opening up a little bit sooner, maybe in hopefully by May.
Perfect. Well, we'll look forward to that for sure. And I know you mentioned in dark skies, this is best. And of course, we're a UNESCO designation, I guess, with our dark skies in Yarmouth County. So really a lot of people can have a great chance to see this.
That's absolutely right.
Excellent. And I know you're also involved, the town of Yarmouth's doing a dark sky policy right now, too. Tell me how things are going on that front.
So far, there's been a draft policy, from what I've been aware. And we've had so much interest in not just the dark sky policies, but in the starlight development area to develop stargazing experiences, promote astronomy, and share the night sky with people. And so we've started a new society called the Starlight Development Society. We have about 15 members right now that are actively working around the municipalities of Clare, Argyle, and Yarmouth in the Starlight Initiative. So there's lots of exciting things happening in the months to come.
That sounds excellent. And I'm really looking forward to, maybe visiting Deep Sky Observatory this summer when you're back open. And I know a lot of people certainly will be as well. Back to the comet. When's the best time, I guess, right now to see it? Is it any time in the overnight hours?
That's right. The comet is visible right from, an hour or two after sunset, right up until the morning. It's called what's called a circumpolar comet or circumpolar object. So it's basically going, it's in the north far enough that it's going around the North Star all night.
And for how long are we going to be able to see this?
Well, the peak is today, which is the closest point to Earth. And what we should be able to see it until about the 10th or so of February before it's after today, it's going to start making its way back outside our solar system and it'll start to fade away pretty quickly.
Wow. A lot of people are hopefully going to be able to stay up. Well, like you said, it happens right after dark. So in the evening, if you're taking a look, and we're hoping for some clear skies so we can see that a little bit better. Well, Tim, thank you so much for your time on this. Is there anything else, you want to get out there about this comet or that we need to know?
Comets are, one of those things that, we don't get a chance to see, all the time. They're very rare as far as, being able to see them naked eye. We've probably seen five in our lifetime so far, five or six from our vantage point. And comets are interesting because they're the ones that, they're the things that brought the materials that are the building blocks of life to our planet. So, when you look up at a comet, you can kind of think of yourself as being part of that universe because, that's why we say we are all stardust. That's where that comes from.
So a rare chance to see this comet. It won't be back for another 50,000 years. And Tim Doucette on the line this morning telling us about this from the Deep Sky Observatory in Quinnen. Tim, thanks so much for your time. And I know you've certainly opened up a lot of minds here and a lot of ears to, make sure they listen and go out and take a look up in the sky as well to see if they can see this.
Thanks very much. Good luck to everyone.
And that's our program for today. Thanks for listening. For story suggestions or to submit feedback, email news.cjls@radioabl.ca or call our newsline at 902-749-1919. To listen to archived versions of our program, visit us online at cjls.com and click on The Weekender. The Weekender is a production of the Y95 Newsroom and is brought to you by Aris Yarmouth, your one-stop healthy home center.